June 15th. Poyasek, Reason, Otto, Pontone, Kai, Alexei, Pontos, Tus, Asibios, Perry, Pontone, Tone, Ergon, Asibios, Alton, Tone, Esibason, Kai, Perry, Ponton, Tone, Sleron, Hon, Elalason, Kot, Altu, Amartoloi, Asibies. All right, we've covered this a little bit last week. This is what he's quoting here is from Enoch also. God inspired Enoch to, he was a hard preacher against sin. He preached against sin in his day. He preached for several hundred years. Think about that. He preached for several hundred years before the Lord took him. Talk about somebody preaching for 30 or 40 or 50, 60 years. My friend Travis Hubbard preached and taught in seminary for 65 years. He taught in seminary before he died. 65 years. That's a lot of preaching. Enoch preached for hundreds of years. And he preached against sin. Straight out. And then he said, he's talking, that God, saying here, that God is going to make or execute judgment against all. And who are these all that he's talking about?
All the men of his kind.
All sinners. Enoch's preaching reached all the way from the seventh from Adam until the millennial reign and passed into the eternal ages. Did you know that? If you study the book of Enoch, you'll find out that he preached about, and I don't know how much of it is inspired, I've said this many times, but I believe there's a large portion of Enoch that is inspired of God. And if you just take the unquestionable parts of the book of Enoch, and you can see God, he said that God was going to bring judgment upon those people, and there was going to be a universal judgment, particularly a universal judgment right then and there. And how did that culminate? In the universal flood. Okay? God judged all of the mankind on the earth, and God, any man got the animals in trouble. Did you know that? Animals had to die too. It was a universal judgment. But then he talked about particular judgment. Every one of you and me will stand in the presence of God to be judged. Every one of us. We are. There's going to be a particular judgment. Each and every one of us. And according, how are some of the ways that you're going to be judged? I would sure hate to go to church all of my life and hear tremendous preaching from God's Word and go to hell. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be in the hottest place in hell. I would sure hate to go to church all my life and hear tremendous preaching and not serve God. Because you're going to be responsible for all of that. You're not off. You didn't. There aren't going to be any excuses there. There's not going to be any blame shifting there. No, but, none of that. We are not even going to answer by it. It is going to be judgment time. Enoch covers all the ages of mankind. He covers, in what he speaks of in that book, he covers all the time from the age that he lived in right there, for the flood was coming, to the call of Abraham, the calling out of Israel out of Egypt. He talks about God judging Israel for their sinfulness, bringing them back into the promised land, scattering them abroad because they crucified the Messiah, calling them back again, beating them up during the tribulation period, calling out the church, the Gentiles, of people that didn't even know God or anything. How many of you are Jews in here? Any Jews here? No. We're all grafted into the promises of Abraham through Jesus Christ. Against all the heathens, so to speak. And to rebuke. Elexei. That's to rebuke there. It means to rebuke for the point of what?
Repentance.
You know, sometimes I say things that make people mad, and my opinions and things, but my opinions are based upon the Word of God, because I really don't have much anything else to say. I just base it on that. And that's the way it is. That's the way we should base all of our judgments, should be on the Word of God. God's standards are good enough for you, because you're going to be judged by those standards forever. God is not going to... How many of you ever went to college? How about the fifth grade? You want to get to the fifth grade here? You know what being graded on the curve is? Huh? What's the grading on the curve?
It's only taking over a class average, even if it isn't.
It wasn't in top too good, and if you got an F, if you only got 60%, you could get a B.
Yeah.
On the curve.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any grading on the curve.
There's
over there. It's it. It's more than pass and fail, bro. You're going to be graded. As children of God, we are going to be graded. What kind of grade are you going to get? Are you going to be back way back there in the back room someplace? In a broom closet? Or digging ditches for the Lord? Or are you going to be up next to it? Are you going to be, as Enoch said, children of God in the end? He says, some of them are going to be like bright stars in the cosmos. Another one's just barely going to be able to be seen. What kind of star are you going to be? You going to just barely tinkle, just twinkle a little bit? Or are you going to shine? God gives you everything you need right now to do what you need to do. How many of you, I'd put your hand up, how many of you witnessed for the Lord today? You either did it for the good or for the bad. You know that? For the good or for the bad? You did it. One way or the other. Either you were a bad witness or you're a good witness. You know? That's right. You're some kind of witness. The Lord. Our preacher preaching the other day. And he said they had called a prayer meeting early in the morning at the church for a special problem that they had. And different people were going to come from different parts of the country. And it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. And this one guy, he was praying almost all the way there. It was really affecting his life. He was praying and he was poking along down the highway. And he was in a lane where this other guy, there was a guy behind him that couldn't get around him. And finally, when he got before he get around, he run around there and took off like that. But as he's going around, he's shaking his fist at him and making obscene gestures to this guy because he got in his way. And about a mile on down the road, both of them pulled in the church parking lot. One had been praying all the way there, and one had been cursing all the way there. And they had to sit down across looking at each other. Both of them were witnesses. Both of them were witnesses. Rebuke. Rebuke to the point of repentance, and its first aorist, infinitive and active.
We are left here as witnesses in this church age that we live in.
And we're to rebuke our loved ones, and the Word of God rebukes us. We are to rebuke our own selves. And it says here that the Lord is going to rebuke all in the last days. He is going to personally rebuke each and every one. All the ones, asibes. What's this word asibes mean? Remember, we looked at this word. It means careless. Careless. It means reckless behavior.
Careless and reckless behavior before God. How many of you were just a little bit careless and reckless this way this week with your Christmas Christian witness? How many people were reckless this week because they haven't been saved and you're just betting you're going to live one more day? And you know what?
Brother Bill, give me an example of this. I have a cousin. Her name is Christine.
And she's been dying of cancer for a couple of years. She's in pretty bad shape. They only give her a few weeks to live, or a few months at the very most here a while back. He was Fred Buss's sister. He was going around in the dumps thinking about his sister Christine and everything else, and he drops dead here right on the church. He expects to have to go to her funeral and everything. Well, Fred's gone. Christine's still here. We don't know how long we've got. I went to the doctor here a while back. They gave me some bad news, you know. And I don't know what's going to happen with that thing still. But you have to live like this is the last week that you're going to be in this world. Like it's the last week, and each day is the last day. Try to live. And I don't mean live, eat, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, either. Because that's the fool who said that. All the ones careless, unworshipful, concerning all the works of the same sort, this careless, unworshipful, or unworshipful, reckless behavior, of them which they recklessly lived. They lived reckless. And concerning all the hard things, which is scleron. Look at that word, scleron. That's where you get the word flint. Hard glass, hard rocks. Hard-hearted. God called Israel a hard-hearted people. They said their hearts were like rocks. Stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And it says, and they spoke against him. Who spoke? Sinners. Careless, reckless sinners spoke against God. Now, when the Lord judges, He judged in the days of Noah, didn't He? He judged at Babylon, did He not? He judged Israel, and many of them died during this church age that we live in. Hard things have been done to God's people, but by the grace of God, they have stood up. If you want to read the second book of Job, read the history of the churches. That's another book of Job, right there. And by the way, it says here that Matthew 16 and 18, he says, the Lord speaking, he said, you're Peter, a little stone, but upon this great, gigantic foundation rock, I shall be building my ecclesia, my church, my assembly, and the gates of hell will not be able to wrestle her down because of His grace. But because of His grace. There's going to be a judge, but there's not going to be any jury. There's going to be a prosecutor, but no defense attorney. There's going to be a sentence, but there is not going to be any appeals in the last judgment. Number 16 now. Here is some real tremendous preaching here in this verse. Hutoi. Asen. Go Giste. Mem. Sib Moi Roy.
Mem Sib Moi Roy.
Kata. Tas.
Epithemios.
Alton. Paru Manoi. Kai. To. Stoma. Alton. Lale. Hiperga. Can you say that? Hiperka. Okay. You almost swallow that.
How do you have that spelled?
Hiperka.
I have an Omicron.
Yeah. Hiperga.
It's just kind of a rugged. It's like Anglo. See that? That gamma is really not pronounced. Okay. Hiperg thamazontes. Prosopa. Opsales. Opsaleos. Karin. All right.
It says these ones, it's talking about these rats, these sullen, whispering, discontent, indignant little rascals. These ones, they are whisperers, grumblers. All right? This word grumblers here is a, in a way, it's an onomatopoeic word. Onomatopoeic word. What's onomatopoeic? What is that? Brother, what's this onomatopoeic?
It has something to do with name.
The word, the name, the word comes out sounding like it is. Have you ever talked to somebody and all the time you're trying to correct them or get them straightened out, they're talking under the breath at you, not listening to the words you're trying to tell them? That's that. Grumbling. You're trying to tell them and trying to get them straightened out in some way, and all they're doing is sitting there grumbling. Groaning and moaning because you're trying to get them to do something that they don't want to do.
Complaining.
They're always unhappy with their lot in life. I don't care what you do or what they have. Tomorrow, it may be real good today. They may want something real bad today, but tomorrow they got it and they don't want it. It's not good enough. They want something better. Their lot in life is never up to their standards. Ever. They are grumblers and complainers. It says these ones are the complainers of their lot in life. They are discontent with whatever situation they're in. Bill, what does the Lord tell us to do?
To be happy in whatever, be content in whatever state you're in.
Be content in whatever state you're in. Have you ever, Bill was talking just a little earlier, you know, he tells a lot of stories, talking about some relatives he had or something in the different states, or maybe your wife's relatives, whatever. And, and these are happy people, and their houses are half fallen down.
How many of you ever lived in a house where you threw dirt or water on the floor to settle the dirt? Yeah, you just sprinkle. You get a can of water and you just sprinkle it and then kind of sweep it around and kind of dapping the ground down just to keep the dust from flying when you're off the floor. Yeah, we are familiar with that. All right. This, a dirt floor. Can you be successful living in a house with a dirt floor? Yes. Very successful. The world may not think that. But you can be successful in living in a dirt floor. In the last century, and actually the century before that, America and some of the large churches in America, they sent out missionaries all over the world trying to make the whole world middle-class American citizens. And they did a lot of failing, and they did a lot of making people angry and made a mess out of politics and countries and did all kinds of problems. You don't have to have a bank account and a car and a three-bedroom home to be successful in this world. Believe it or not. A lot of people will go sailing through life with all of these little luxuries and end up in hell. Or end up just throwing their life away and not serving the Lord at all. You have to learn to be happy with whatever lot you're in. Be happy with it. And this is this next word here is mem simoi roi. It means to find fault with and to be dissatisfied with your portion. Whatever portion, that word moira, that's portion. Okay? The first one is to grumble about what state of being you're in. And now this is to grumble about and to be dissatisfied with your portion in life. Whether it's living in that little shack or in a nice home with real fancy tile floors that cost $200 a tile. There's not one bit of difference in the person that lives in that house and the person that lives in the dirt floor. Because God looks down all of them and He looks upon the heart of man. When you raise children, it's not what you can give them. It's what time you can give them. You don't love them by giving them things. You love them by spending time with them. Giving them some of you. Not money, not things, but you. Spend time to raise them. Work with their homework with them. Get them through school. Put them on the right path in life. That is your responsibility. You shirk it and you'll be raising them forever. Raise them once or forever. Mm-hmm. Continually forever. That's just the way it's been that way since Adam. Well, it's true. You ask the kid what they want in life, they want their parent to give them time. Love is time. Love is keeping clothes on their back. I don't care if they're rags, clothes. Putting food down in front of them when they're hungry. Take time to cook and prepare that child's food and give them that part of your life. Is it too much of a sacrifice? No, it shouldn't be. And pass it on to them. Because the way you raise them is the way they're going to raise theirs. Even when you do the best you can, sometimes you flop. And it's up to them. But you owe them the best that you can give them. That's what you owe your children. And when you train them, they won't be this. If you are doing this, when you raise your children, what are you going to produce?
like.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like. Just like this. All right? According to the lusts of them, according to your lusts. The word lust there is not a bad word, always. Did you know it? Epithemia.
It means to hold something upon the mind. To be obsessed with something. That obsessing.
That's scripture.
Yeah.
To be obsessed or to lust or desire earnestly something is not always bad. Many people desire something they can never attain. And they're never happy. The world today, the largest portion of the world today is either theosophists or Buddhists or some like order. And what does that teach?
Works.
Works for salvation. How about, you know, Jesus says, come unto me and I'll take your burden upon me and I'll give you a burden, but it's going to be light because I'm going to carry it with you. The theosophists, the Buddhists say that you're going to have to just keep living and transmigrating through life. One form of life, you start out as a rock and a bug and this spirit form that you were originally many times is very evil. And you have to transmigrate through different kinds of flesh and forms till you finally get into the world. And when you finally come to what's karma, or not karma, but nirvana. When you finally get to that point in this world, you have to completely throw away everything that's desirable in the world. You can't desire a mate. You have to be celibate. You cannot desire any food that an animal dies, because it might be your Uncle George. Or it could have been you just a while back. You can't eat animals or anything like that, even though God has given them to us. You can't do that because that's sin in their form, the Hindus also. All of this form. And how would you like to be taught from the time you were born that you're a bad person? And you have to beat this badness out of your flesh. You have to deprive yourself. Because if you're ever going to get any rest, you're ever going to go into a soul sleep where you can rest for the rest of eternity, you're going to have to deny everything that is good in this world. Or you're going to have to keep on coming back. Mm-hmm. Jesus said he paid for it all. Margaret.
Is Buddhism and Scientology?
Yes.
About the same thing?
They're very close. They're closely related all the way through.
New Age is kind of a branch.
New Age is a...
Hinduism.
Yeah. The New Age philosophy is kind of... They believe in reincarnation. And you really never... You have to keep coming back until you get rid of all bad thoughts and being a bad person. If you're a killer, you may have to come back as a bug. And get squished on somebody's windshield 49 times before you get back in human flesh again.
You pay for your sin.
You have to pay for it. You have to die. That's part of making it to nirvana, finally, in the end.
I asked my professor about this, and then I gave him an idea. I said, well, if this is what everybody does, then that means everybody was a murderer, everybody was a rapist, everybody was a molester, mm-hmm. everybody was everything. He goes, yep.
That's right. That's what they believe. If you're still in flesh here today, you were bad sometime.
Yeah.
And you're being tortured, and you are being condemned right now in the flesh. All the diseases and everything that you have, and all the pains and everything, this is all because you're bad.
To live is to suffer.
I saw one, I knew one, that New Age woman one time, and I haven't had an easy life. And she looked at me one time and she said, Jim, you're such a good person, but you really must have been bad sometime in some other form of life. You get all these bad things happen to you.
I must have been really bad.
We don't have to work out our own salvation. Jesus Christ paid for it all. And we need to, that's another gift that you can give you. And that's the greatest gift that you can give to your family when you leave this world. To let them know where you're going and where you have gone. According to the lust, what kind of lust do you have? It's not wrong to have lust. It's wrong to have the wrong kind of lust. Mm-hmm. Think upon lust after the things of God. Hold your children upon your mind. Lust after raising your children in a good way. Lust after your husband. Lust after your wife. We can do that, see. Isn't that nice? Not somebody else's wife, not somebody else's husband. That's not good. According to the lust of them, and they're just going about. It comes from poruomai, going, nominative plural masculine, present participle, and look at that little, what is that voice there, brother? Middle voice, isn't it? Middle voice. Yeah. All right. Hadn't got that far on. Well, this is middle voice, brother. Middle voice means what? Doing their own thing for their own selves. For their own selves. And then it says kai, tol stoma. And it says, and the mouth of them, it speaks. The mouth of them, it speaks. Look at that word, lale. That's even grammatically right. What does the word lale, comes from laleo, what does that mean? What does this word for speak mean? Where did it come from?
Lego.
Laleo. Not lego.
Logos.
Huh? No. Laleo. That's a root form. Laleo means to speak with a mouth. With human speech. With, you have a tongue, you have lips, you have teeth. You have the roof of your mouth. It means to speak in human language. Now what do these people say in human language? Their mouths of them, their mouths speak. Boastful, swelling, arrogant things. Admiring. All right? Showing respect. This word prosopa, it means to look upon people for influential reasons. To go with the right crowd. To be in the right crowd for financial or for clout. Mm-hmm. Why?
Second up to the boss.
Yeah. The big boss, mm-hmm. The president of the company, running in the circles with them. Looking upon faces, and then we're ophelias, for an advantage. To pay flattering compliments to get you someplace. Mm-hmm. When somebody starts telling me how nice I look today, besides my wife, that is. She can do that all she wants. Somebody tells me how nice my glasses look on my face or something when they're all fitted with. Welding slag. Instantly, a red flag runs up. Somebody, this guy is saying this for some reason.
He won some.
Yeah. Want something. Karin. What is Karin? The word charis comes from this. Charis is what? Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. It's grace. The word grace comes from. Who was that?
The wrong person.
The wrong person. For the sake of advantage. For the sake of a free lunch. That's what it's talking about here. A free lunch. For the sake of advantage. For the sake of getting something for nothing. Does this remind you of certain events that you have been exposed to in life? Number 17. Got a few minutes left. By the way, there's a lot of cross references in here. Let's go back just for a second. The word to look upon faces for an advantage in the Septuagint in Job 13 and 10 and Leviticus 19 and verse 15. These are two word times that this was used in the Septuagint. This is a very rare use of these words, by the way. When you study language, if you want to put the little notes down later on, this is real good grammatical study from Greek. The book of Jude is a Greek masterpiece in many ways. It really shows some outstanding grammar and the use of words. Now, who was Jude again? Who was he?
Brother Jesus.
He was a brother of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he might have heard some outstanding languages and quotations in his life at around the dinner table?
Oh,
sure. Huh? What do you think he had been exposed to being the half-brother of Jesus for 30-something years in life? Do you think he might have been exposed to a little bit of philosophy? How many of you would like to sit at Jesus' table for 30 years?
That's all.
Jehovah God in the flesh. Well, he did. 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of Jesus' life, he was out there living with the foxes and the quail.
That wouldn't be enough.
Well, he shows it in his writing. He shows it. I believe Jesus knew every quotation of every poet in history. I believe that he was absolutely...
Come on. The word books that I'm supposed to...
Yeah.
We were supposed to be in this classroom, but we'll move.
He
knew all the books.
That kind of threw me off.
Half-brother of Jesus.
The half-brother of Jesus was exposed to a lot of the philosophers. I believe Jesus set them all straight around the table.
Think he had a formal education besides?
I believe that he was involved with all kinds of stuff. Jesus quoted all of the fathers of Israel. When we were studying the parables and everything, we see a tremendous amount of quotations from rabbinical history all over. I mean, it's just saturated with it, except he straightened it all out. We could go on and cross-reference. I'm going to give you some of them, those of you who want to take. Acts 20, 29, 2 Peter 3 and 3, 1 Timothy 4 and 1, 2 Timothy 3 and 1 and 4 and 3, Philippians 2, 14 through 18, Matthew 20 and 11, 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, Exodus 16 and 18, Numbers 11 and 1, and Numbers 14 and 2, Numbers 16 and 11, 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, 2 Peter 2 and 10, 2 and 8, 2 and 3, Jude 18, Job 13 and 10, Leviticus 19 and verse 15, and these are just some of the cross references of this verse. If you get the tape, you can go back and look at that. Number 17. He mês dei agapetoi.
He mês dei agapetoi.
Menestete.
Menestete.
Tone.
Tone.
Rhematon.
Rhematon.
Tone.
Tone.
Proe re menon. Hippo. Tone. Apostolon.
Apostolon.
Tu. Kiriu. Himon. Esu. Christu. All right, here we have a weak adversative conjunction, but this little word day there. Himes day.
D
they is actually how the sentence starts. It's like a weak adversative conjunction. It's a little stronger here. Look left up on page 85. I was telling Brother Ken all the page numbers at the dinner table a while ago of some of these. It's a little weak adversative conjunction. It can mean but. And it does mean but here. But. But ye, beloved.
Did you say just go?
Didn't I say go?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. But ye, beloved. Agapetoi. Beloved ones. Beloved ones.
You say beloved, you're talking about the same one.
Yeah, beloved. This word, this here, beloved ones, what is it, where does this word come from? This word.
Comes from,
what kind of love is this?
This is, looks like a same root word as agios.
No.
No.
Agapeo.
Brotherly love.
Agapeo.
Okay.
Agapete. All right. Agapetos. This is godly, divine love. Beloved ones in the Lord is who he's talking about. Those that are saved, those that are acquainted with the love of God. All right? But ye beloved ones, ye saved ones, call to mind. This word comes from memnesko. Be caused to remember. This is second person plural, so that is ye. First aorist, what kind of tense is that? What's the aorist tense in Greek? What's that mean? Punctiliar action. Point time action. At some period of time in your life, each and every day, as a daily matter, once a day, twice a day, three times a day. Remember, is what it says. Be caused to remember. Passive voice. Imperative mode, that's a command, isn't it? Passive voice. Passive voice means that someone is acting upon you. Who calls to your mind the things of God? The Holy Spirit. All right. This is the action of the Holy Spirit here. Beloved, be called to mind. Be mindful of the things of God, be caused to be mine. Make yourself available to God. Make yourself available to God. Be saturated with the Word. I drive my wife crazy sometimes, I think. I get up in the morning and turn on the tape player. Listening to old tapes and studying the Word of God, turn on the Christian radio thing and going down there, I'm listening. I stop and I write. I do all kinds of weird things. To teach. To teach myself. I have to learn myself before I can teach you anything. I have to wear a lesson before I can ever put it on you. Don't I? Yeah. Be ye caused to be mindful. Tone rematone. Here's another word for word, brother. What kind of a word is this? That other one's laleo. That means words by spoken by mouth. Now what is this reo here? It comes from reo. Rho epsilon omega. Reo. It means to flow. That's what it literally means. To flow. To pour out. Jesus, as they were getting ready to pour out the drink offering, he said unto them, just as they poured the drink offering out, he said, come unto me, ye that thirst. Come unto me, and I'll give you waters that you never have to ask for again, or you never have to drink, or do it again, drink again. Israel was to remember, when they poured out that drink offering, that God provided all the water for them in the desert, in the wilderness. How many of you ever... He wasn't fit subject yet. He had to work them over a little bit.
And he put them out there in the wilderness to remind coming generations that God would provide, even when there wasn't any water, that God could provide water. I heard about a man the other day that was testing his faith in God. Sound like some of the people that I've known, a pastor in the past. He decided to trust God with his life. Absolutely. Now, how would you trust God with your life, Brother Kim? Surrender to the ministry, for one thing, because, boy, he's going to do something with you. Make yourself available to God every day. Put yourself there to where God could be used by you, and you could glorify God in whatever state you're in. Unemployed or employed, sick or well, poor or rich, whatever it might be. Well, this young man, he got in his fairly new car, went down the road and blindfolded himself. I'm going to trust you, God. Guy had this car. He ran off in the ditch, turned it over, tore his car, plumbed up. What kind of lesson did he learn? Did he learn that he wasn't trusting God well enough? What was wrong with that problem? With this problem that he had?
He was testing God.
He was testing God. How many of you watch people put their hands up and praise stuff to God? Most of the people that put their hands up are wanting God to give them a blessing. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. Bless me with this sermon. Bless me with this thing. Like this. But that's not where the term came from. It came from the Greek or Hebrew term yod, yod, which means hand. Worship God, it means to come to God with empty hands. Empty hands. And they would bow before the throne of God. They bow. And ancient rulers and stuff, the eastern rulers, they come in their presence and they bow with their hands open all the way out of the room in respect. It means literally to hold an empty hand up to God and say, God, let me be used of you. Don't give me nothing, because I don't have nothing. Let my hands be used by you. Different term, isn't it?
Is it the same kind of thing as the open hand handshake or the Indian way of shaking?
Yeah, that's what. No. Empty hands. No weapons. Empty handed. I come unto you empty handed. This word here, rhematon, means the flowings, the edicts of God. Jesus said, as the devil was tempting him, and he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights or had anything to eat or to drink or whatever at all. And he was hungry. And the devil came to him and tempted him. And said, you see those stones down there? If you're the Son of God, turn them into bread, loaves of bread. Could Jesus have done that?
Yeah.
Of course he could have. If he had done that then, though, he would have been obeying Satan. And he would have surrendered himself to temptation. He could have eaten. He was hungry. Adam was never hungry in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that? Yet he fell anyway. The second Adam didn't do that. The flowings of God. Jesus told Satan there, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from God. And this is that word right here. The flowings. The rivers of life. The Word of God is a river of life. The river that you float on. It is a river. It's an ocean of blessings. But if you're lost, it's like going out in the deepest part of an ocean with a sinking boat. You don't go down. Good child of God, it is the words of life, the flowings of life. It says the words of the ones having been previously spoken by the apostles of the Lord, of us, Jesus Christus. The words spoken, the edicts of God, the streams, the flowings of the words of God that told us and showed us the glory of Jehovah becoming flesh, and the blessing and the free grace of the love of God compared to the world. Remember, even at this time, hundreds of years before Christ, people were trying to work themselves through different soul migrations, through different forms of life, to get to nirvana or to restful sleep. And Jesus says, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, burdened, and I'll give you rest." You don't have to deprive yourself of life. You don't have to deprive yourself of marriage. False religion will tell you you can't get married. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Who instituted marriage?
God.
When did he institute marriage? What time in man's existence did he institute marriage?
It took Adam in the heart.
Were Adam and Eve, were they innocent? Had they sinned yet?
No.
God made marriage before there was sin in the world, so sin is not in marriage. All right, period. Marriage came before sin. And man and woman were together in marriage before sin entered the world. And yet false religion will say a man should not marry or a woman should not marry. We have in Buddhists, we have these colonies. In Catholicism, we have the priest and we have the nuns. This is a perversion of a law written by God. We have today, we have a lot of problems in Catholicism because of the priests are molesting children and people all over the world. Well, they've been doing this since 1123 AD. It's wrong. It's against Scripture. It's against the laws of God. And I don't care in what guise you put it. It is wrong, and you're going to have problems with it. You put men in that type of situation, and you got problems. You put them in a monastery or whatever, even if they're Buddhist or what they are, they got problems. How many of you have seen movies of this stuff? They make a lot of movies of this stuff. All right? Marriage is ordained of God. And I'm a heathen Indian, you know. And how many of you that have been in my home and been with me when I pray, I thank God for the animals that give their lives for us. And they've been doing that for a long time. Every one of them animals is just like Christ that died for us. But God gave us animals to live, to eat and to live today. That's one of the gifts of God. And don't let any man tell you you can't eat meat on Friday or any other day of the week. Or any other time. See, this is all part of false religion. And it started back before Christ in Buddhism and Hinduism. We got people over there in India starving to death, washing their hair in the urine and the feces of Brahma bulls. Got plenty of cows around, but they won't eat them because this is the highest form of nirvana. Of life. They are the ones that are sinless. These cows. Israel told Aaron to make us a golden calf so we can worship it. They've been worshiping cows over there in India for a long time. If they would eat some of them sacred cows, they wouldn't be hungry. Religion can starve you to death. Well, we're going to, and send you to hell. Can starve you to death here, and after it kills you, it can send you to hell. This is the 14th, isn't it? Something like that. All right. We'll start with number 18 next week. Thank you for your attention. I hope you enjoyed this. By the way, if you want to cross-reference this verse, Jude 3, 2 Peter 3 and 2, Hebrews 2 and 3, these are some of the verses you can cross-reference this last verse with. Jude was a preacher of righteousness, wasn't he? Oh, what a book. I preached this in 1975, a long time ago, before I knew how to preach it. I look back in time, and the Lord sure blessed His Word, because I was dumber than dirt when I preached it before, and people were being saved. And 100 years from now, I'll look back and see how dumb I was now. But God would absolutely honor it if a frog could croak the gospel and His Word. God would honor it, because He said, "My Word will not return unto me void." And He does. He honors His Word. Learn the Word of God. Learn what it says. Apply it to your life. And use it to influence others. Be a witness for God. For the good. Brother Levee, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for this class that Brother Jim has given You, and this information, Father, that we go out and use this information. And be with us, Father. Let's be witnesses the rest of this week. For the good and the glory, and be with us into this church, Father. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've taught for 8 hours from the book of Jude, Tony taught 5 verse book of him.